Please welcome with me this morning our guest speaker, Pastor Robert Miller.
Good morning. Aloha. Good to be with you again. It's a privilege to be with you while your pastor is traveling. Some of you might recall that I was with you back in October. That's not too long ago. But a lot has happened since October. There is no doubt that 2020 and 2021 will be remembered as challenging years. We are enduring a pandemic. We are enduring political upheaval and economic turmoil, just to mention a few. Maybe have some other things that are on your mind this morning. Because we live in a fallen world, these crises should not surprise us. Nevertheless, it still has been a challenge for many. Although the last year has been difficult, I can't help but think that perhaps God was prompting the church to do something and we missed it. Could it be that God opened a huge door for ministry, but the church was too focused on its circumstances to see God at work? Our text this morning will help us to see that God is at work even during the most difficult times for the body of Christ. This morning, I want to take you to the book of Philippians. When writing this letter to the Philippian church, Paul the Apostle was in somewhat of a similar situation. He too was having a tough year. No, it was not over a pandemic, but perhaps worse. He was in prison. And so this letter, which was written from prison, was Paul's report to the Philippians. And in this section of this letter, he gives us God's perspective on his situation, and the words that he shares in the text is a good lesson for us today. And so you can open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 18. You can read along as I read. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12 through 18. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here, knowing that you are present among us. We thank you for the authority of your word, and we trust, Lord, as we look at this closely this morning, you would teach us, that we would receive it, that you would call each of us to obedience. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing us this privilege of looking at your word and understanding its context and allowing it to impact our life personally. And so guide us this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. During this difficult time in Paul's life, let's look what he observes. The first thing I see here is that Paul saw God open doors for him to preach the gospel. Paul saw God open doors for him to preach the gospel. As I said earlier, Paul wrote these words from prison. Although he was in prison, he was not isolated in some dark dungeon. Actually, he was under house arrest, which meant he was allowed visitors. Officials and outsiders were allowed access to Paul the Apostle. Some estimate hundreds, if not thousands, visited him face to face in the 2-year period that he was in prison. It is also important to know that Paul was not your typical prisoner. It was clear among the palace guard that he was not guilty of a crime or in prison because of political activity. In verse 13, he says, "I am in chains for Christ." Here was a Roman citizen exercising his right to speak the gospel. And because he took a stand, he became a topic of discussion among the guards and the officials. It would not surprise me that out of curiosity, people would drop in to see this popular prisoner, this man of principle. You see, it was unusual for a man to be imprisoned for his religious views back then. But Paul was no ordinary prisoner. And anyone who would drop in on Paul would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was the kind of servant of God that made the most of every opportunity to speak of his Savior. Another important thing to know about Paul is that he was imprisoned near a military headquarters. Some estimate 9,000 Roman guards worked in the area, and this did not include all the other military officials. And so military personnel were swarming the area, many of which had never heard a clear presentation of how to follow Christ. And so Paul was given an open door to impart the gospel to all who came to him, including the Roman officials who visited him. And so his words in this letter indicate that this was an unexpected result. Paul did not plan this, but he surely welcomed it. He welcomed what God was doing through him, and he wanted others to be encouraged by the hand of God working. You see, this letter to the Philippians was a letter to a church that Paul loved very much. Not only did he start this church, he loved this body of believers, and he wrote this letter to encourage them and give them an update on his circumstances. Paul heard that the Philippians were deeply concerned for him as he was in custody awaiting his trial, yet notice the tone of Paul's letter. It is not discouraging, but rather surprisingly uplifting. Why? Because Paul's imprisonment did not hinder the spreading of the gospel, as some concluded. It actually created new opportunities. And when these open doors, with these open doors, Paul faithfully preached Christ, especially to the leaders of Rome. Paul said, "What happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." This word "advance" here was used of blazing a trail. And so the gospel spoken through his lips were blazing a trail among those who had hard hearts. Yes, Paul was chained, but God's word was not. In 2 Timothy 2:8-9, Paul said these words. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained." Praise the Lord, God's word is never changed. It is free and powerful to change the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. By the way, this imprisonment reminds me of when Paul and Silas were in prison in Acts 16. You may recall that. They were beaten and thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. Later at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns while other prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the prison doors flew open. And when the jailer woke up and saw this, he wanted to take his own life. Why? Because he believed he failed in his duties. But Paul stopped him and lovingly led him to freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, instead of running to save his own life, he saw an open door to share the gospel. Notice in both occasions, in Acts and in Philippians, Paul isn't whining about his situation. He's not caught up in self-pity. He's not mad at God for changing his plans. Now, I'll be honest, if I were in Paul's circumstances, I might have spent much of my energy complaining about being mistreated, perhaps self-absorbed in my own personal struggles. But when Paul wrote this letter, he wasn't looking for sympathy. He wanted them to see his amazing God at work even through his life. Listen, we serve a sovereign God who is always working to advance the gospel through his people, even when circumstances look disheartening, like during a pandemic. And I know we have a lot of on our mind in 2021 with this pandemic. We're all aware that our country is divided like never before. Perhaps this pandemic has impacted you and your family financially. Maybe you are frustrated over the limitations that are put on the church. We got a lot on our mind. And all of these things are legitimate concerns. And if we're not suffering, we should have compassion on those who are suffering. During these trying times, advancing the gospel should be a priority of God's people. In 2021, God desires more to come to him. God desires more to mature in the faith. You see, like Paul, the gospel is entrusted to us. Not only is it entrusted to us, God opens doors for us. Back in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul said that when he went to Troas, the Lord opened a door for him to preach the gospel. And today, our Lord still opens doors for us, whether we see those doors opening or not. And like many of those prison guards visiting Paul, there are people today looking for answers, looking for hope, seeking good news in their life. God worked through Paul in that confined prison, and he is not done working through his church today. But there's another way that God was at work that I see in this passage, and that is that Paul saw God encourage the church to be bold. Paul saw God encourage the church to be bold. Now here we read another unexpected result that Paul observed in prison. Paul's circumstance not only allowed him to share the gospel, his actions stirred up others to do the same. In verse 14, Paul said, because of his chains, most of the brothers in the Lord were encouraged to speak the word of God without fear. In other words, his suffering inspired courage and fearlessness in others. His actions gave Christians greater confidence to share their faith. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I'm inspired. I'm inspired. I'm inspired by his courage. I'm inspired by his resilience here and even throughout the book of Acts as we look at Paul's journey. I'm inspired when I read in Scripture how Paul was beaten and whipped and stoned, how he was shipwrecked, dragged out of the city, and he still got up to spread the gospel. He still persevered. Through all the persecution, he remained focused and he remained steadfast. And all this inspires me. It was Paul who said, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Again, this was another unexpected result. Here, Paul was not boasting about his accomplishments. He was just doing what he knew glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. He honored Christ in his afflictions, which in turn built up the body of Christ. Isn't it interesting that when we hear of missionaries overseas being persecuted, we are saddened, but we're also inspired? As I speak, some missionaries are being tortured. Some missionaries are in prison, and some will become martyred soon for their faith. And then we look at our comfortable lives, and we can't help but be inspired by their courage and their sacrifice. Again, Paul loved this church, and he thanked God for this church. Philippi was the first town in Macedonia where Paul established a church. And some scholars say this letter was a missionary thank you letter, where Paul was thanking them for their monetary support and for their faithfulness to the gospel. You see, unlike some of the other letters he wrote in the New Testament, this letter was a letter of joy. The very word joy is used 16 times in the book of Philippians. And throughout this letter, we see his love for God, his grateful heart, and his joy in serving others. Again, this is all inspiring. Friends, I believe we need more of this kind of courage and fearlessness today. Today, there's a trend to be politically correct and culturally sensitive. There's pressure to be careful what we say. Especially in Hawaii, we don't want to offend our neighbor, or we don't want to offend our coworker. Today, we are surrounded by a cancel culture. This is where if you don't like what others say, you just remove them from your professional circle or remove them from your social media. This is a form of ostracism. And so trends like this are putting pressure on the church to be quiet. We don't want to lose our jobs. We don't want to be shunned by our neighbors or avoided at the family reunion. However, more than ever, the church, I believe, needs to speak out. We need more in the church to be brave and fearless. More than ever, the church needs to fear God more than man. Like what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, "We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts." Would you be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? Would you be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? Now, don't get me wrong, we should never try to offend others, but sometimes the gospel will offend. J.C. Ryle said, "A cheap Christianity which offends nobody and requires no sacrifice, which costs nothing and is worth nothing." If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have something very valuable to share with others in your community. So let me encourage you to consider this. In 2021, ask God to give you boldness. You might not consider yourself a biblical scholar or an evangelist, but you know what? God can still use you. You don't need a polished gospel presentation for God to use you. Friends, you can have John 3:16 on your heart, and God can use you to bring transformation in the life of someone else. And I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:17. He says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Paul's message was simple, but bold. Do you realize Paul even prayed for boldness? Paul prayed these words in Ephesians 6:19. Listen. He said, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." And this is just one occasion where he prayed for boldness. And so Paul the Apostle on numerous occasions prayed for boldness. How much more do we need to pray for it? Do you realize the root of fear is pride, which is the elevation of oneself? Boldness, on the other hand, requires humility. It requires we lay down our lives, not preserve it. It requires we humble ourselves and ask God for help. And this is what Paul did, which became an example to the church at Philippi. And then last, I see in this text, Paul rejoiced that Christ was preached. He rejoiced that Jesus Christ was preached. Not only did Paul see God working in his life, he also saw God working among those preaching the gospel. Notice in verses 15 through 17, Paul recognizes that people proclaim the gospel for different reasons. Some preach out of envy or rivalry, and others out of goodwill. Today, there are various Christian groups proclaiming the gospel, especially today, and we do not all agree theologically. Paul also saw this in his own time. He said in 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 11 through 12, he said, "My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' another, 'I follow Cephas,' still another, 'I follow Christ.'" Christians not only follow different leaders, Christians minister with different motives, according to this text. In Paul's day, some were envious of Paul's accomplishments and saw preaching as some kind of competition. Some wanted to stir up trouble, and others wanted to outdo Paul. And some, you see, had impure motives. Fortunately, others did it out of goodwill for the glory of God. Now, impure motives in ministry should not surprise us this morning. This happens more often than we realize. Nice people do good things for the wrong reasons. Nice people do good things for the wrong reason. And this is true in the church. Yes, some share the gospel or serve in a ministry for impure reasons like self-ambition. Some do it for recognition. Some for monetary gain. Others do it out of guilt. All of us do good things for bad reasons. Fortunately, God can still use broken people with insincere motives to accomplish his purposes. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that because I know my motives are not always pure when I serve the Lord. Of course, the most powerful motivation is to minister out of a heart of God's love. Think about it. God sent his only son to earth because of his love. He loves you and he loves me and he acted on it. Notice, whether pure or impure, Paul was glad that the true gospel was being preached. This brought Paul great joy. He said, the important thing is that whether from false motives or true motives, Christ is preached. Now, this is by no means endorsing sinful motives or a false gospel. Rather, Paul delights in the fact that the gospel is being preached by more people. You see, the gospel alone is powerful apart from those who proclaim it. Let me repeat this. The gospel alone is powerful apart from those who proclaim it. So even if we proclaim it with impure motives or we butcher our presentation of the gospel, God can still use it. Paul says in Romans 1:16, which is awesome verse. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." You see, the gospel alone is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And so Paul rejoiced over the gospel being proclaimed. He was committed to making disciples of all nations, and what brought God joy brought Paul joy. Have you noticed when the gospel is preached and lives are changed, the church is energized? When we are doing what we're called to do, the church is revitalized. The body of Christ is renewed. When the church is healthy, this causes her to rejoice. It brings God great joy when his people are taking the proclamation of the gospel seriously. On the other hand, when the church gives priority to other things besides the gospel, it loses energy, it loses influence, it loses joy. In 2021, God can use you to share the gospel. Look for ways that you can be a bearer of good news. Follow through on those that God puts on your heart. Like Paul, when the gospel is preached, God's people rejoice. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he wrote to encourage a church to remain steadfast in the face of hardship and opposition. He also wanted them to be faithful in the gospel. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:8, which is a good summary. Paul said these words. He said, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." This verse is a great summary of our text this morning. Now, before you can stand for the gospel, before you're going to preach the gospel, you need to know what it is. And it is possible that you have attended church, you're connected to Christians, and yet no one has clearly explained the gospel message to you. You see, we gather this morning. We worship this morning. We preach because the gospel is important. It is central to all that we do. But before we can appreciate this good news, we must understand the bad news, the reality of bad news. The bad news, which applies to all of us, is that we have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And our sin offends a holy God. Plus, no one is good enough to be made right with God. None of us can meet God's standard on our own. Knowing this reality, God sent his only son to die on the cross for us. Some people will ask, why did he die? He died because it was necessary that he pay the penalty of sin. He who was perfect died for the imperfect. He died in our place to cover our sins. Jesus did what we could not do on our own. He became our substitute. But it's not enough just to know these facts. There are many people who know these facts who don't act on it. To be made right with God, to be forgiven of our sin, we must recognize our need for a Savior and believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this is a call to turn from sin and to place your trust in Jesus Christ. And so this good news, this gospel, allows us to be in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, to follow Jesus is the most important decision anyone could make in their lifetime. And so I urge you to receive Christ. And if you need help, please seek out help. Talk to other believers. If you need more instruction in following Jesus, you're encouraged to contact Pastor Dale or other leaders in this church. You can go to the church website to see the number and the email there to get more information. The gospel brought great joy to Paul, and it can for you and me today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the authority of your word. Thank you, Father, that you're about good news. We experience so much bad news, and sometimes we forget all that you have done and all that you have revealed in your word is to bring us closer to you. We are reminded this morning that you love us and you sent your son for us. Thank you for the power of the gospel that changes us. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you because of what you accomplished on the cross. And Father, perhaps someone here this morning has heard good news but has not responded to your offer. I pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you would help them to understand your grace, that they would, through faith, receive you, that they would turn from their sin and believe in you as Savior and Lord. Help us, Lord, to respond to you in faith. And Father, once we do, and for many of us here this morning, we have responded to your good news. We know one of the greatest privileges we have as Christians is to share that with others. And so, Lord, help us to be mindful of those that you place in our life. We know throughout our day you place people in our heart. Help us to pray for them and to seek you and to go after them. And Lord, as we mentioned earlier, give us boldness to talk to those people that you put in our life. Thank you, Father, for that privilege of being a part of your kingdom work. May you be glorified in our life. Speak through us. Use us to touch a life for your glory. I thank you for this church. I thank you for its pastor. I thank you for their love for your word. And I do pray, Father, that you would continue to use this congregation and those that are listening this morning to be an example and to be a testimony of your grace. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.